We hop on the telephone line and welcome in a friend of the show, sportscaster, author, actor, host of the wonderful podcast Screen Time, along with Drew Yano. Gary Tangway joins us. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Rich. How you doing? How's it going? You got an action-packed show today. Humble, but nonetheless, Mighty John, man. Legend.
Oh, absolutely. Mighty, we couldn't get through a Friday without Mighty. We need him to keep us straight.
That's it. Man, I remember that lineup. He was great. Man, when you think, I got to give him his due, you know, when you think like top 40 disc jockey, his picture's right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And in the state of Maine, if you have a top five all-time jocks and it doesn't include Mighty John, then I don't believe your list is valid.
No, I agree. Agree.
Now, who was big? You grew up over in the Rumford area. Who was big over there when you were a kid?
Well, I remember it was, God, I love talking radio. I geek out at this stuff. People think we're so weird, Rich. It was WIGY.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Y106, and they had this guy, Willie B. Mitchell, in the afternoon.
I remember him.
Yeah, Willie B. Mitchell. And he used to go, at the end, he'd go, "Hey, Mom, come pick me up. I'm all done with the show." And I thought it was original. And then I went to Boston, and I realized Dale Dorman on Kiss 108 did the same thing. But then Willie, I don't know if I actually met him, but he went into sales like a lot of people do when they decide to make money. But, yeah, Willie B. Mitchell, and then on you know, the blimp, when you were into album-oriented rock, there was Mark Persky, and, you know, it's the blimp, Frank, it's the blimp. So it was those two stations. And the thing that was interesting about WIGY is they were owned by Turner Porter, and their mascot was Wiggy the Wonder Dog.
Right, right.
And I went to work for Turner in Portsmouth, New Hampshire at WERZ, and they had the Z-Dog. And I just remember this guy on the hottest days. I mean, people, like, you know, you're at a car dealership and you're doing the remote and you got some poor guy in the dog suit, right? And it's like 110 degrees. And I'm like, they can't be paying this guy enough.
I'm trying to remember, wasn't it? I think it was WIGY. It was the station that Casey Kasem was doing American Top 40 promos, and it said something about it being the top station in Maine, and Casey flipped out in the middle of doing the promos. You can find it streaming out there on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How do we know? How do we know they're the number one station?
Those outtakes are great. I mean, hearing Casey Kasem drop the F-bomb is hilarious.
Oh, it's fantastic. Love it. Love it, love it. So what's going on? What have you been up to lately?
Well, you know, just parenting, Rich.
Oh, boy.
Parenting, my friend, which you and I are at different ends of the spectrum. I have one that's getting ready to graduate, and some days I wish it wouldn't come, and other days it can't come soon enough. You know what I'm saying? And then one is coming. One is coming home for college today for a week. Then my 11-year-old wants to be taken here, there, or everywhere. And I'm like, why can't 11-year-olds drive? That's what I want to know. You know, I just think it's about time we lower the license age. Because I'm tired of being a taxi cab. I'm tired of being an Uber that doesn't get paid.
Now, you got an 11-year-old. Is that what? About what age can I expect? My guy's 9, and I can see we're getting close. At what age do you realize that you no longer need to be around? They don't want you there unless it's something they can't reach.
I would say it's probably around 12 for boys.
Okay. All right.
With girls, I mean, it's like, well, I'm at the stage now with girls. I'll just say that my daughter came downstairs at 11, and she had something on that I went, turn around, go back upstairs. You're not wearing that. And it's, you know, Instagram. They see stuff on Instagram and all this, and I go, no. She goes, Dad. I go, no, 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 no. I don't care. I don't know where that came from, but I'm tossing it. You know, so. You know, she's the third kid. So the third kid picks all kinds of stuff up from the older one.
Oh, sure.
You know? And then as a parent, I'm a little beaten down, you know? By the time you get to number three, you're beaten down a little bit where you're like, oh, you know, but when it can't, you know, when it comes to boys and that, I'm like, you know, she's got a boyfriend and hey, you know, I'm like, I'm on top of that.
And she's got a boyfriend at 11?
I know, in the sixth grade, they all do, and they're all like break, you know, they're, but of course, it's just at school. I go,
right.
Do you go on dates? She goes, no. You know, just, it's just, you know, it's a school thing. And then she keeps telling me that they all break up at every other day, and I don't know. I think, you know, it's just a thing to say, you know, I think. But I will tell you this, with Instagram and social media, kids at a younger age are definitely more aware.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on?
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't hide anything, you know. I mean, you can't. I mean, so it's been, it's always busy parenting. I would say it's parenting is more tiring than actually working.
Oh, I can. That's for sure. I was home today. My wife was working today. The local schools had a teacher workshop day. So, yeah, I was dad for the day today, and I was exhausted. I was happy to leave and come in here and do the show so I could get some rest.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, like I just before your phone call, I drove her over to a friend's house. Then her mom's leaving at 5:15, so I got to go back and get them. And I'm going to have four girls at my house. My daughter's coming home later today. I got to get my son up to practice. You know, so it's all that stuff. But you know, as far as you know, what I've been watching and stuff. I mean, I need to get your opinion on Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
I love that movie, and I've watched it. I've probably watched it in its entirety three times, and then because it's on, I think it's on HBO, and so I've picked it up in the middle a number of times, and I hang in there because I think it's a terrific movie. It's hard to categorize, but the directing style, the Daniels were so original in it, and all the performances. If it's not the best thing Jamie Lee Curtis has ever done, I don't know what it would be.
Well, I don't know. What was the movie she did hanging from the helicopter with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
True Lies, yeah.
A True Lie. I don't know if it's any True Lies, man. But I agree with you, Rich, that because Drew and I are going to debate it on Screen Time. I got a recording coming up, and he did not like it, and he and I debated it. I really enjoyed it. And here's the problem. This is the thing, is people go in with the wrong attitude because they go, oh, it's just crazy and it doesn't make sense. It makes perfect sense.
Mm.
It makes perfect sense. At the end of the day, okay, so they got the donut hole and all these crazy things, you know, and different, like, you know, you're in different stratospheres or different eras of time. It's a movie about family.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a movie about family. It's about a mother and a daughter and her husband and things going crazy. If you have kids and you watch that whole movie and you pay attention, you can totally relate to it.
Oh, God, it's wonderful. And I thought it was so brilliant the way they did it. The scene, I don't want to give too much away, but the scene with the rocks.
Right, 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 right. I mean, it everything... You know, I mean, at first when you have to watch me, but you know, like the, you know, they had a very unique way of telling a heartwarming story that everybody experiences. That's my feeling on it. And I thought, you know, Evelyn, I thought Michelle Yeoh was great. Jimmy Lee was great. I thought Joy with the daughter was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And of course, you know, I mean, there was no way that Ki-Wei Kwan was not going to win the Oscar. I mean, he was fantastic.
And great to see, 94-year-old James Hong with a terrific part.
He was great. They were all great. I mean, and, you know, the thing with Ki, talk about shifting gears.
Yeah.
I mean, one personality to another, like that. I mean, like that. I mean, that was nailed. I mean, he deserved it. He really, they all did, you know. I mean, I loved The Whale, and Brendan Fraser won Best Actor, and I thought he should have. And I loved Banshees of Inisherin.
I did too. And I haven't seen The Whale. I love Banshees, and we were talking about it with Alan Adams, our movie critic, the other day. And I felt badly because I didn't disagree with any of the winners. And yet, I look at those four actors from Banshees, and they were all absolutely terrific.
Carrie Condon was amazing.
I thought she was going to win. I really did.
The only one you could debate is she maybe could have got in instead of Jamie Lee.
Mm.
But, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis is going to, she's got a you know, she's a Hollywood sweetheart. I mean, she's Hollywood royalty. You know, I thought that Stephanie, who played Joy in that movie, in everything, I thought she could have won it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I looked at all of the categories, all the major categories, I thought that, with probably the exception of Top Gun, you know, I thought that any of those films could have won. Or actors. I think any of them could have won. You know, but everything, Everywhere, All at Once was just so original and just so, it was amazing. I mean, I still think about it. I mean, and I'm not surprised you've watched it like 3 times.
No, I loved it. We're talking with Gary Tanguy on Downtown Noah. In a recent episode of the podcast, Screen Time, you guys talked about Banshees and talked about another movie that I liked a lot, The Menu, and whether or not comedic dramas actually work.
Yeah, Drew hated it. I know. You know, the tough part about it is what everybody is trying to do, I didn't see it yet. But what everybody is trying to do is trying to do the same thing different.
Mm.
You know, and it's, to do a comedic drama is really, really hard. I mean, like, I look at, like, I guess Gross Point Blank, you know, which was that type of movie where, you know, or if you look at any of the Scream movies, you know, the violence has to be like so crazy and so over the top that it's funny, which it's hard to pull off. It's really hard to do, I think. You know, I think. But what we're having now, because we have streaming and there's so much availability for content, if somebody can take a risk and Ralph Fiennes can go out and do it. And that's what's happening with this stuff. And I think it's great that you, like, I consider you and Drew both very intelligent consumers of content, whether it's a book or whether it's a video, I mean, a movie or a TV show. I mean, you guys are smart. And I think it's great that you liked it and he didn't. You know?
But part of it is, I think, is I also appreciate the craft. And I like the art of filmmaking. So I like to see people stretch and try to do things, like you said, in a different way.
Well, right. And then, of course, you know, Drew taught screenwriting at Boston College and, you know, he sold stuff to Universal. And, you know, he's accustomed, I don't want to speak for him, but, you know, whenever he and I, like, we've written screenplays together, he's very big on structure. And with some of these films, the structure goes out the window. But as I've debated with him, or will debate on everything, is the structure's still there. It still has a beginning, a middle, an end. It has your plot points. It has your rising action. It has your conclusion. It has your denouement. It's just that there's an acid trip in the middle.
Mm.
And I'll give you an example that I think is going to be wonderful, is that movie Air with Michael about Nike. Yeah, I think it's going to be great with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
And they wrote it, right?
I got to look. I assume so. I don't even know, but I assume so. But that looks great. But that looks like a conventional movie. Beginning, middle, and end, great story, rising action, you know, is the hero going to win, you know, all is lost, let's find out if we get, you know.
No, Kerry says they didn't write it, a guy named Alex Convery wrote it.
Oh, did he? Okay. I didn't know that. So there's room for everything. You know, there really is. There's room for everything.
Well, and you know, what I like, and I think you're in the same boat, and nothing against comic book movies and action flicks and blowing stuff up and all that, but I like seeing movies about real people. And if you can take real people and put them sometimes in what Everything Everywhere did in somewhat unreal, abstract circumstances, I'm all in for that.
Well, what you've got to do is you still have to entertain, right?
Right.
You still have to say what's coming next. You know, there's only so many times you can see the wagon go over the cliff.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, if you watch, and that's one of the things, you know, my wife will watch the FBI things. There's like 3 FBI shows on CBS, and there's 3 Law and Orders on NBC.
Oh, my wife is in for all of those. Oh, yes. All the procedurals.
But,
yeah.
But they know what's going to happen.
Right.
The good guy's always going to win. I mean, they always know that it's not the first person you see. You think it's that victim, but it's not really that victim, and they got to turn it around. there's comfort in that.
Mm-hmm.
And a certain amount of the audience wants comfort, where another segment, like yourself, wants to be entertained. Take me on a ride, show me something different, but still maintain the fact that it's compelling. You know, and that's what everything did.
Yeah, and, I think...
some movies that, go ahead. I'm
sorry. No, I was just going to say, I think if you can do that in a unique way, but not lose the care that you have for the characters involved. Sometimes films will do that, TV shows will do that, and you get caught up in the process, and while that was cute the way they did that, but you stop caring about the people on screen.
Well, you just nailed it, Rich, and that pretty much sums up to me why Everything Everywhere works, is because you care about them. You know, that's what I think. You care about them. You care, you know, about Michelle, and you care about Key, and you care about the daughter, and you want them to get back together. I mean, anybody can relate to what that family's going through.
Mm.
I mean, you have an elderly parent who is not well. You have a business you're trying to keep going. You're trying to raise your family. You got a million things going on. I mean, who hasn't had their table covered in receipts at tax time, you know?
Yeah.
So you relate to it. It's very relatable. And you root for them. You know, that's another thing is we'll talk about having to root for a character. You root for them to get back together. You know, you want them. And, you know, you want everything to be okay for that family amongst the chaos. And that's the key. You just nailed it, Rich. You still care for them. You know, that's, you have to have some admiration. You have to have some feeling for the character,
right,
whether it's bad or good.
Let me ask you, what's
the great villains? Even the great villains, you know, you have, there's something, they're a villain, but you're like, you still somehow find that bad guy appealing a little bit.
What's a movie, Gary, that you kind of always go back to if it's on? And it doesn't have to be a great film. It's just one that works for you. If you see it on TV, you're channel surfing, you come across it, you're in for the next 90 minutes.
Oh, The Rock, every time. And it's and Drew and I did a Screen Time edition on it. It's absurd.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's totally absurd that Sean Connery is going to go through that blade, you know. He's going to go through that. He's going to time it. 35 years ago, it did this, or whatever. And the timing is still the same. It's absurd, but it's great. And at the end, when the flares go up, and the green goes up, and the planes come in, and, it's absurd. And the car chases, I mean, Bruckheimer's the best at that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just good old-fashioned fun. I mean, you know, and just at the end, the guy, you know, he goes singing Rocket Man. I mean, it's absurd, but it's great. I love The Rock. If it's on, man, I'm in. How about you?
Oh, it's mostly comedies. Animal House, if that's on, yep, I'm done. Any of the old Mel Brooks stuff, Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles, Back to the Future is another one. If that's on, I'm in for the ride. And then I'm a sucker too for old black and white movies, and you know, Casablanca, sure, absolutely. But anything, if it's an old film noir, if it's guys with guns and saucy dames from the 1930s and 40s, sign me up.
Yeah, I mean it's all good. I mean, that's the thing is, I think that there is there's stuff you can like, and there's stuff you can like at every genre. You know, you can, to me. You know, I still like, you know, when it comes to a drama, The Usual Suspects is far and above.
Oh, so good. Funny you mentioned that. I was surfing the other night, and that was on. And all right, here we go. I will jump on board, and I'm there till the very end. I will find out who Kaiser Sose is.
Oh, I know. And I, you know, when I watched it, and I'm, you know, I kind of have a pretty good idea. I can pick things up. I had no clue. When he jumped in the car with Pete Postlewhite there, I went, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. And I watched it. When I watched it recently, I'm like, oh, man, Spacey, you had so much talent and you threw it all away.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, I mean, and, you know, the whole cast, I mean, Gabriel Byrne.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
And I always forget, who's that? I just forgot. Oh, my God. I forgot his name. He's in the, I got to look it up. But the cast is great. The cast is just phenomenal.
Benicio del Toro, Kevin Pollak.
That's it. Ah. Benicio del Toro, that was it.
And friend of downtown, Chaz Palminteri.
All great. All fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, at the end, he drops the mug. So it's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right. Hey, I want to talk a little basketball while we got you here. You've been watching any of the March Madness stuff?
Rich, I got to admit, I'm sorry. I haven't had time. I mean, this parenting thing is killing me. You know, I really haven't had any time. I think Furman had the upside. I mean, whenever I have it on in the house, I'm walking around and I'm just amazed at the athleticism, the basketball skill. It's the one sport where kids keep you getting younger and getting better.
Mm.
It's amazing.
All right. How about this Celtics team, Gary? Things were going so well, but it seems like, am I wrong that the Brown and Tatum, they just like to turn it on and turn it off.
I feel like they're bored sometimes. Let's hope they can turn it on.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because right now, here's the problem is, and I said this all along, they go, well, the Celtics are going to get worse. I said, no, but Milwaukee and Philadelphia are going to get better.
Mm.
So I'm not worried about the Knicks. But you still got Milwaukee, you still got Philadelphia. And now Durant's out west, and, you know, Golden State's up in the fifth spot. They'll continue to climb. They'll be there in the playoffs. But, you know, the Celtics have had a lull. They got bored. They got cocky. They went through some injuries. But now, Jaylen Brown said it the other night, it's time to step on the gas again. You know, they got to get something done.
All right, well, we'll see if they can do that
My concern is that, you know, whenever you start to mail it in like that, if you haven't won a championship and you don't know how to turn it back on again, you won't. So that's my concern. I mean, you know, and Milwaukee still has the freak. So we'll see. It's not over. They're in it. But I think a lot of people thought it was a foregone conclusion. I never believed it was a foregone conclusion.
Well, no, and it looks like they're probably going to have to go on the road to Philly in the second round.
Yeah, that's not going to be good. You know, I mean, if Philly's healthy, you know, and Harden just has a good series, that's not going to be good. No, they're a great basketball team, but you got some competition. I'll leave it at that.
Gary Tanguy with us on Downtown. If you're not a subscriber to the Screen Time podcast, you ought to be. Great conversations about film and TV and just lots of great stuff there. So what, you have a sleepover? What's going on? You got a bunch of them at the house later?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a zoo. It's going to be jammed. Pizza delivery, Uber.
Dad and, 4, 5, 11-year-old girls?
Yeah, and my 17-year-old will come home, and he'll want to go somewhere. And then my 21-year-old will be home, and you know, and yeah, it's gonna be. But it's always good. I'd rather have a full house. When
absolutely.
They all leave, I'm not gonna know what to do.
Yeah, well, you can come help with mine when that happens.
No, that's fine. He's your problem. No disrespect,
Gary.
Like
good
I,
talk
like
with
I
you.
Said problem.
Well, enjoy it tonight. You have fun and a good weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Rich. I'll see you later.
Gary Tanguy with us here on Downtown.